If you are politically correct or easily offended, move on to another show. But if you want to hear the truth, keep listening. Brothers at Arms starts right now.
When you're born in this world, you're given a ticket to the freak show. And when you're born in America, you're given a front row seat.
We gather tonight at a dramatic and deeply promising time in our history and in the history of man on earth.
So they don't. Nobody wants to rock the boat. Nobody wants to change. Don't change anything. And we're in a nice downward glide. I call it circling the drain.
We reward stupidity in this country. We reward people with multi-million dollar TV contracts so that all the other stupid people can sit around and watch how stupid these people are. Stupidity is a virtue in this country.
These people are psychopaths to the worst order.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
You are listening to Brothers at Arms with Ira Robinson and Joe Long. This show airs Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. The cold hard truth has no fear on this show.
I think Americans have worked extremely hard not to see the criminality that their officials and their policymakers have exhibited.
We may fight, we may argue, but in the end, we are still brothers. Hello, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Brothers at Arms. My name is Ira Robinson.
And I'm Joe Long.
There you go. You may have heard us on my show, Open Eyes, which is available on openeyesnetwork.com, as well as the Late Night in the Midlands Network, latenightinthemidlands.com. I air my show Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is the first episode of Brothers at Arms, which is basically the two of us having discussions together about the current events and the things that we feel are important for people to pay attention to. Joe, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing actually really good.
Awesome. Are you ready for us to have a little bit of a fun time discussing things tonight?
We always have a fun time discussing things. And I'm always up for a new and interesting debate with you.
You and I both. So I figured for this first introductory episode, we'll kind of tell the audience a little bit about ourselves and what we're kind of about. And that way they can have an idea of who we are and maybe why they should listen to us, which they never should.
Yeah, speak for yourself. I'm chock full of fun and interesting tidbits.
And I'm always full of useless trivia. So my name
Damn
again.
It. That's my line.
Again, my name is Ira Robinson, and I am a 44-ish years old man, father of three, one older child, two younger children. My son, my middle child, 13 years old, has autism. And let's see, what else? I'm blind. and I have, I guess you could say, a sort of a libertarian viewpoint on things if you had to put a label on me, but I don't really like to be labeled. I am me. I am the person that I am. And the way that I look at things is if you don't like me for who and what I am, screw you. There's 7 billion other people in the world who just might, and I'm not going to waste my time with you. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. Joe, how about yourself?
Well, my name, as stated earlier, is Joe Long. I am a 40-ish year old man. I'm a single father of two. I have an 8-year-old son and a almost year. She'll be a year old next month daughter. I have custody of my son. He lives with me. My daughter lives with her mother. As Ira likes to say, I am your average Joe. Yeah, pun fully intended. I have done just about every job that you can think of, and some you probably can't. I come at the world from a very much more conservative bent than my dear brother. I And not Republican or anything like that. I mean conservative. I am sometimes my dear brother compares me to a rabid ultra conservive. I've been known to label you me as being so far right. I was looking left.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, I am your average guy. I mean, I'm a middle-aged, middle-class, you know, type of guy. I enjoy beer and football on Sunday and, you know, going out and firing off a few guns every now and then, doing a lot of fishing, love to fish. But, you know, I look at the world from a perspective that is tempered by the things I've gone through. And tempered by the prism of what things were like when I was growing up compared to what they are now. And it took a lot of time, especially dealing with my brother, to open my eyes to what's truly going on around me. And I'm hoping to be able to bring that to you folks.
Yep, a little bit of perspective. For those of you who don't know, it's probably assumed at this point, but we are not actual blood brothers. We've known each other for a very long time. It seems like probably a few thousand years at this point. And we are brothers from another mother, you could say. We come at things with this friendship in mind. We disagree a lot. We'll just put that out there. We tend to disagree a lot. We tend to butt heads a lot. But in the end, at the end of things, we are always walking away with arms around each other's shoulders saying, okay, so what can we mess with next? You know? So it's never in any kind of animosity, although things can get rather heated at times.
Oh yeah. We've had some rather, I'm sure your wife, if she ever comes on our show, which I'd love to have her as a guest, because she is generally our voice of reason and sanity. She's our neutral ground. But there's been many a times that she thought we were going to actually come to physical blows because of the heat from the arguments that we have.
And yet again, as I said, by the time all is said and done, we're walking away together and looking for the next bit of fun together. It's always enlightening to have conversations together with Joe. And I don't know. I guess that's the viewpoint that I come at things with. So for our first episode, we wanted to speak about a few different subjects. We thought first we'd talk about this new idea of Obama law. So essentially, what is going on is last week, Obama came out saying that he wants to push forward for the rest of his or for the foreseeable future, at least, the federalization of all police forces within the United States. So in other words, to make all local law enforcement, all city law enforcement, county law enforcement, state law enforcement be under federal auspices, essentially. So again, to federalize all law enforcement within the United States. And he's doing this as an extension of the 21st century policing deal that he had going on after all of the incidents of last year basically occurred. So I'm going to go ahead and let Joe talk about this first and get his perspective on it. So Joe, what do you think about this whole thing? That pretty much sums up my viewpoint as well. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. Tune in next time. Anyway, sorry. Okay.
First of all, he's doing this by executive action, which is completely and totally unconstitutional. And second of all, we already have a federal police force. It's called the FBI. But he wants this federal police, he wants all police agencies to be under federal jurisdiction. And by definition and under the Constitution, federal policing would be under the judiciary branch. But according to this executive order, it would be controlled by the executive branch. He wants the Gestapo. He wants the secret police. And that's not what we need in this country. is policing in this country fundamentally flawed? Coming from a law enforcement family? No. Looking at it as a citizen? Maybe. Looking at some of the things that have gone on? Yes. But most of the incidents that have happened, the one in St. Louis, the ones in New York, have been isolated incidents. Now, the one in St. Louis, that guy was right. He was in the right down the line. Darren Wilson was in the right. He was protecting his life. I can't remember the name of the kid he shot.
Michael Brown.
Thank you.
That was in Ferguson.
Ferguson, Missouri. St. Louis. Yep. It's the same suburb. It's a suburb of St. Louis, okay? Don't start with me on correcting every little thing I say.
No, I'm just making sure that people get it clarified because we'd get emails about it.
People know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Michael Brown was attacking this officer. He attacked him in the squad car, and he kept coming after him. Michael Brown deserved what he got.
Yeah, he was a criminal. Sorry,
he did. Now, the guy in New York, no, he didn't. He did not, you know, especially considering that way back when Giuliani, when old Rudy was the mayor of New York, put in place ordinances and bans on chokeholds.
Right. And you're speaking of Eric Garner, just so that people get it clarified.
I'm sorry. I have a tendency not to remember names. I remember details.
That's okay.
But, you know, yes, that was a bad situation. Now, recently we've had another white on black. Cop on black guy shooting in Wisconsin. And of course, everybody's in the Wisconsin State House, hands up, don't shoot. We don't even know the damn details of the case yet. And already we're getting protests.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. That's one thing that I wanted to touch on here real quick is they're constantly screaming out about Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. No, all lives matter. Quit with the Black Lives Matter crap and actually deal with the reality of the situation. Race doesn't matter. Every time that you see one of these shootings happen, like the one in Wisconsin, for instance, the first line of it all says a white police officer shot a black person, and they immediately kick in that racial divide. And those people who are headliners, you know, the people that just read the headlines of a story and nothing else, automatically assume, okay, well, it's about race. And it does everything a disservice. That's the way that the media plays the game. They love to keep people divided because it keeps people paying attention to their shows, and therefore, well, more feeds, advertising money.
Right. It feeds the 24-hour news cycle. And, you know, that beast is insatiable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, it doesn't matter. The Black Lives Matter thing is ridiculous. It needs to be all lives matter. It's not a matter of blacks against whites or black cops against white cops or, you know, white people. It's not white cops against black people. It is cops against people. That's what it comes down to.
And, you know, and coming from a law enforcement family, you know, my dad is an 80 some year old man. So when he was a police officer in a completely different era than we have now. And even back then, it was an us against them mentality. And it still is.
Absolutely.
An us against them mentality.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can understand part of that because most cops, most police officers are dealing with the absolute worst segments of our society.
Yeah, the dregs of society, so to speak.
Now, you'll have, and eventually, even the most benevolent, idealistic police officer becomes jaded. They become very burned out. That's why most police officers, especially the ones that start when they're 18, 19, 20 years old, retire at 40 or 45. They get their 20, 25 years in, whatever it requires to get their pension, and they get out. Because by that time, they've had enough.
Especially if they've gone through incidents where they've had violent encounters with people, which, you know, actually is I won't say the exception to the rule, but it is a minority of police officers that have to deal with that kind of thing.
Exactly. It is a very much a minority. You know, where we live, we've had incidents here. And, you know, the police officers that are involved in them, you know, most of them are good cops. They've done their job. They do their, you know, they're not violent, but there are some of them that are. And the thing that needs to change is not bringing all police officers under federal jurisdiction and, you know, eliminating your local police departments. I mean, think about that, ladies and gentlemen. You know, they make a federal law enforcement agency. You could have guys coming in from Timbuktu into New York City, you know, the small town guy in some place like New York City, he's not going to know a thing about the town. Or you could have a guy from New York City end up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You know, what's to stop that? Nothing. And these police departments have been built, and the people that are on these, there are laws. I know in Indiana, at least, if you're a city police officer, you have to at least live within the same county that you're a police officer in. If you're a county sheriff, you have to live either within that county or one that is touching that county so that you know the people you're dealing with. So you understand the city you're dealing with.
Right. You have to have a sense of community with it. That's what it comes down to. You have to have some kind of tie to the community yourself. I think honestly, what this actually is trying to push towards is bringing in the UN troops as police force. I think that's what it's leading to.
And okay, since when did we become Bosnia?
Well, that's what they're trying to turn us into, isn't it? I mean, they've done everything that they can to work us towards becoming a third world country. So why not?
The thing is, go ahead, bring the UN troops in. We'll see the French, we'll see British, we'll see some American troops. And because the largest contributor of troops to the United Nations peacekeeping force is the United States. Okay, yeah, we'll bring U.S. troops that are part of this peacekeeping force into police the United States. Okay. And they get the order, oh, you've got to go in and clear this area, and lethal force has been authorized. At about that point, the U.S. troops are going to look at their U.N. commander and shoot him.
Well, then you also have the issue of if something like that were to occur, and especially because it would be prevalent in areas that are, let's say, more urban in nature or more, if you want to do the vernacular, ghetto in nature. If troops were to, for instance, go into the ghettos of New York, I don't think them troops are coming back out.
Especially French troops. Because to quote Robin Williams, or no, to quote Bill Engvall from one of his famous skits, if Ned Beatty can't make it down there, a Frenchman in a pair of bicycle pants ain't going to make it. So, you know, the old saying, you know, I saw an ad on the internet one day, French rifles, never fired, only dropped once.
Nah, don't be offensive.
People, if you're offended, you're listening to the wrong show.
Yeah, to say the least. Neither of us are politically correct, by the way, just so that you're aware, if you haven't figured that out by now.
Political correctness is the devil.
It is the bane of human existence. I totally believe so. On the article regarding this whole Obama law thing, which is what I'm kind of coining it, it says, a quote from President Obama himself, "We have a great opportunity to really transform how we think about community law enforcement relations. We need to seize that opportunity. This is something that I'm going to stay very focused on in the months to come." He also instructed the media to help a federalization of policing and to sideline critics of centralized policing rules. He said, "I expect our friends in the media to really focus on what is in this report and pay attention to it."
Can we say, let's crank up the propaganda mill?
Oh, yeah, by far.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes. Where is Goebbels? I need Goebbels.
Yeah, the mainstream media, as well as most of the alternative media, is completely co-opted by the state. It is just nothing more than an outlet for the state.
It is. I mean, it's only through shows like ours, Open Eyes, Late Night in the Midlands, The Secret Teachings, The Last Frequency, and of course, pretty much anything that's on the Dark Matter Network, thanks to the great and powerful Art Bell. All hail.
Watch out for the man behind the curtain, the great and powerful Oz.
Exactly. But the thing is, you know, and people are like, well, what's the alternative media? Newspapers.
Yeah.
They pretty much become the alternative media.
Yeah, well, you really see, though, I mean, like, you go to, like, Alex Jones, you go to, like, Glenn Beck, all of those, they're considered to be alternative media. But they're nothing more than shills, for the most part. A lot of them. I'm not saying all of them. And I'm
now,
not giving
I
those.
I will argue with you all. Alex Jones, yes. Rush Limbaugh, abso-freaking-lutely. Even though I love listening to the man. The man's great to listen to. He's hilarious. Now, Glenn, I'm going to argue with you on that. Glenn, he does his best in the confines of the media that he has to work in to bring the truth to light. I mean, he created his own network so that he could control what was on it, what was said, what was, you know, not being forced to spout the company line. But The Blaze is still being broadcast on talk radio and mainstream radio and on television. So he has to play a certain amount of the game just to get his message out there.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that. I have some issues that are sidelined from that. I do think that in a lot of cases, the alternative media is actually there in place as a means of disinformation that has been essentially put into place by things like the CIA and so forth. I mean, if you're in any kind of popularity when it comes to this kind of stuff, when it comes to the media, a lot of times you are owing a debt to people, and that can cause a lot of issues. Not really going to go into that here, but you know,
or at least not at this time.
Yeah. But I just kind of wanted to make the point that as far as all of this stuff is concerned, when it comes to any of media and even the independent media is like ours, for instance, there is an aspect of propaganda to it all. I mean, what we're doing here is propagandizing to a point because we're trying to get you guys to listen to our points of view. That's a propaganda act. But when it comes down to these types of things where like Ovamit himself is saying, well, we need our shills in the media to push forward this agenda that we're doing, that is absolute propaganda. That is propaganda in its finest form.
Oh, heck yeah. Like I said, I need Goebbels.
Yeah. Yeah, they have become very good at it. There are over 7,000 different public relations firms just within the United States alone. Billions of dollars are spent every year on shaping the opinions of the public. What most of the public thinks, what most of us, the we the people, the great unwashed masses, what most of us think is actually not what we think. It's what they think.
Exactly. I mean, you watch anything on television, you're getting programmed.
Yes. Why do you think they call it television programming?
Right. If you watch, you know, any type of news programming, they are very good at something called NLP, neuro-linguistic programming.
Which I was trained in doing. I learned to recognize it very well. Neuro-linguistic programming is essentially where someone can, through basically visual cues and auditory cues, program you to act in a certain way or to respond in a certain way. It's very akin to a hypnotist on stage telling somebody that they're a chicken and they become a chicken. It's not quite on that drastic of a scale. It's much more subtle than that, but it's actually much more powerful than that because you don't recognize when it's happening to you. Whereas with a hypnotist on the stage, you're at least volunteering for it. With NLP, there's no voluntary thing to it. You're programmed whether you like it or not.
Exactly, which is why neither one of us will actually watch or even listen to, if we can help it, a speech by Ovamit, because he is a master at it.
Yeah, I don't from any politician whatsoever, and even in most of the mass media, I don't, because all of them have been trained in it. Very well trained, in fact.
Exactly. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where you can't even watch the news, because the news media is doing it.
Well, the news media is completely scripted. I mean, if you think about it this way, how things used to be, for instance, in the past, is that when someone would put out a news article, the person who wrote the article actually did the investigation of whatever it is that they're writing about and wrote it themselves, put it out into the newspaper, and it became public knowledge at that point. Nowadays, you see the news anchor and you think, oh, well, there's a journalist sitting there on my screen. I must listen to him because he put together this news piece and he is a trustworthy and honest person. And so therefore he can be believed. At least that's what most people think. However, that's not the case. They're reading from a script. They are an actor. It's a Hollywood act. Just, you know, it's just a different form of Hollywood. It's just a different outlet of Hollywood. Everything that they're reading is on a script. It's on a teleprompter. Every politician, when they come out and they do their speeches, are going from a teleprompter. It's a speech. It is a written script. And that's what you're being hit with.
Exactly. I mean, they're not reading the news. The news is even not the news.
No, the news is whatever is the agenda of the day.
Exactly. And, you know, this whole federal policing is an extension of that process. It's an extension of the nanny state. They're going to tell you what it is you need to do to be safe. They're going to tell you where to go, what to live, how to live. And I'm sorry, it's wrong. It's completely wrong.
Well, it is. And if you think about it this way, every single newspaper, news outlet, television station, magazine, you know, on and on and on, all of them are actually owned by basically six corporations. You have GE, you have Time Warner, you have, let's see, AOL, well, AOL and Time Warner are together. Anyways, there's basically six corporations. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but all of these are what forms the news and opinion pieces, right? Tied to that, you also actually only have two real news outlets, the Associated Press and Reuters. And when you get even deeper than that, the Associated Press actually has extreme ties to Reuters. So in the end, what actually is occurring is Reuters is the only quote unquote news source that is out there. If they want your opinion, they're going to give it to you.
Yeah. I've said that for a long time. If I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Although I like Chuck Norris's line better. If I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you.
Yeah.
This is not the country I grew up in. And it's starting to bug me. Really bug me. I mean, we've got this treaty that is trying to be forced down the throat of Congress. Luckily, they're still resisting.
Yeah, they're actually trying to fast track it right now. You're talking about the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah. Which if
a horror show in making.
Huh?
It's a horror show in making.
Right. I mean, if they get it shoved through, say goodbye to your guns.
Well, say the goodbye to everything. I mean, for example, one of the things that I've talked about on my show on Open Eyes, which you can find at openeyesnetwork.com, I've talked about the TPP quite a few times on my show. One of the really horrible aspects of it is the clause in it that will allow corporations to sue countries if they make regulations or laws that impact their profits. So for instance, if Kellogg's feels that they're going to lose $10 billion profits over the next 5 years because of the government passing a regulation that makes it so that they have to label their foods as being GMO containing, and they lose, you know, $10 billion worth of profits on that, then they can sue the government, i.e. we the people, for that $10 billion, and we'll get it.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm sorry, that's not right.
It's not right on every level. And that's just one aspect of it. So we are actually going to be railroaded by this treaty, by this horror show that they're trying to shove down. It's way beyond Agenda 21.
And like I said, luckily, yes, they're trying to fast track it. They're telling senators they cannot, senators and congressmen, they cannot read it. Or when they do, they have only a certain amount of time and they have to stay in the room and they can't take it with them. And the more they try to push this thing through, the more Congress is saying no. Because right now, the congressman that controls bringing things to the floor is saying, no, we're not even going to bring this to the floor. We're not doing it. So Obama, thank you, great dictator, once again, is threatening to have this thing enacted through executive order. And I hope he tries. I really do. Because that will finally make Congress impeach his happy little butt.
I doubt if they will. I really do. I doubt if they will go as far as impeaching him. Look, the problem is he's black. Okay, he's the first black president. They are not going to impeach the first black president. That it's not going to happen. See, that's the reason why he's in office right now, to push through all of this crap. And I'm not being racist with this, by the way, people. Okay, it's just a fact that they are not going to be that politically incorrect that they're going to impeach the first black guy who's the president. It's not going to happen. That's why he's there. He's there to push through all of these agendas so that the next president can have basically carte blanche on everything that they want to do, because, you know, they decide, oh, well, we can't do anything against this guy. I don't think it's going to happen.
I hope so. I do. I don't care. I don't care what, if he is the first black president. I don't care. And he's not. He is not the first black president.
No, he's not. But that's the public perception of it. That's the public perception of it is what I'm getting across.
He's more white than black.
Well, yeah. But anyways.
He needs to be impeached.
Oh, yeah. He needed to be impeached long ago. I mean, I'm sorry, but they tried to bring up impeachment proceedings against Bill Clinton for getting a Hummer in the White House. This guy has done far worse than getting a frickin' blowjob. Okay? Come on, people.
Exactly.
Just some guy some poor schlub who's trying to get a little, you know, because his wife is the hillbilly hound dog. But anyways, so, I mean.
Oh, she's the ice queen from the
80s. Anyways, let's go ahead and take our first break here and let people recover from our political incorrectness here.
It does flow freely.
Listen, guys, I am not politically correct in any way, shape, or form. Political correctness is the bane of human existence, and I will tell it like it is. I have no tact, and I have no concerns about who I offend. If you're offended, turn the thing off. There's plenty of other things out there that you can listen to, such as, Tiny Tim's Tiptoe Through the Tulips. I'm sure Lady Gaga has a new song out. You know, you can go listen to anything that you want. There is so much out there that you can consume. But if you want to know the frickin' truth, and I'm talking the cold, hard truth where you are hit with it and know for a fact that what we're speaking here is the truth, then please stay tuned, because we'll be right back. Ben Franklin said, If you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today. Changing the world starts with you, and changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at latenightinthemidlands.com, because things really do need to change. Open Eyes looks for the truth in all things, no matter where it may lead. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters are bringing to this world, or aliens and UFOs, no subject is taboo or off-limits. Listen to Open Eyes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the L&M Network at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
They went into the homes now, the powers that be, and told us that you cannot discipline your children anymore. And if you discipline your children, you were going to jail. Then they went into the public schools and took discipline out of there. So when we acted up in there, they put our boys into something called special ed classes. And as you know, those special ed classes are nothing but holding cells until they can go to the state prison. If we can have them convicted for a felony, then once they get out of prison, they cannot get a job because of that. And then if they happen to eke out and find a job, then they have to pay taxes on a job, yet they cannot vote. I call that taxation without representation. They did a grand thing when they took that discipline away from us, because when they made our parents afraid to discipline the children, then what happened? We found out that the teachers were afraid of the principals were scared of the superintendents, superintendent was scared of the school board was scared of the parents, parents were scared of the children, and the children ain't scared of nobody.
Time, pressure, and
You know what? We really are so far down. I think we're so far down that we don't even know which way is up anymore. That's how I feel about it. I don't know about you, Joe, but that's definitely the way that I see things right now.
Up? What's up?
Yeah.
What's up? What is this thing called up? I have no idea what is up.
We've been fighting so hard to get people to wake up, to get people to open up their eyes a little bit and to see the truth of things, to at least, at the very least, research things yourself and stop listening to the frickin' mainstream media and stop listening to the puppets out there on their strings that are telling you, oh, you should think this way or, oh, you should think that way because what we see is the law. What we say is what is actually real. And the experts, those who are wearing their white lab coats and have the letters and numbers behind their names, they come out and they say, oh, well, we know what we're talking about because we're the experts and you need to listen to us. And what we say goes. And people just believe it. They just believe it without even questioning a thing.
There are so many people out there that I talk to on a daily basis that believe everything that they are spoon-fed by the mainstream media, by the newspapers, by the talking heads. I live in a house with an 80-some-year-old man and a 60-some-year-old woman, my mother and father, who quite literally believe everything that they see on television.
Yeah, I know. And for your dad, everything that Fox News says is God, basically.
I have been ramming my head against a wall with my dad. My mom is starting to come around to understand that not everything is as it seems. Thank God. My dad is a lost cause. He is a lost cause.
And it's unfortunate, you know, because it's the people who are the complacent ones like that that are the problem. They are the problem within our country.
They are. And too many, you know, I would say roughly right now, it's the younger generation that is starting to wake up.
Yeah.
Or is awake. They don't believe the government at all.
No. And in fact, it's
our generation that is starting to wake up.
Yeah. As an example, my 20-something-year-old daughter, she questions everything. She does not believe a thing. My 10-year-old daughter, she questions everything. She does not believe a thing. I mean, my kids basically have been raised up to not believe the lies that they're told.
Exactly. And what really makes me sad is the generation that should be the most awake, my mom's generation, the flower children, the hippies – They've bought in and sold out.
Yeah, well, it seems like they've been co-opted is what it comes down to. They through the programming that went on, through all of the different social programs that went on to try to change people's perceptions of things, they really bought into it. They really did.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
So for those of you guys who are just joining us, welcome. This is Brothers at Arms. My name is Ira, and I am talking to Joe, my brother at arms.
Yep. Yeah, we are trying to enlighten, inform, and above all else, entertain. And we hopefully are being a little bit entertaining for you tonight. Yeah, we have a lot of information that we will be bringing to you on a weekly basis. You know, we're not all doom and gloom. I mean, yes, tonight we are really up in arms. You know, this is a subject that kind of sparked both of our ire with O-Vomit. And our next subject is definitely one that is going to, if you're politically correct, you're in the wrong place, because political incorrectness is going to spew from every orifice of our bodies.
Yes, exactly. And so be prepared, be warned ahead of time. Do not be offended, because you have been fairly warned. So the next thing that we wanted to talk about is one that I'm actually pretty darn passionate about overall myself. The headline of this is Lie Before Sex, You're a Rapist. Feminists want to make dishonesty in relationships a punishable crime on a par with rape.
Sieg Heil! The Feminazis are back, and they are pissed. And we are going to neuter you, and this is what we are going to do. We are going to shave our heads, and we are going to burn our bras, because we are women. We are women, and hear us whine.
Oh, you okay, just pissed off half the listener base.
I hope not.
Okay. I want to clarify something here. Be sure to understand, at least from my perspective of things, and I'm pretty sure that this is how Joe is as well. There is a vast difference between a feminist and a feminazi. And I hope that all of you guys out there can understand the difference between the two. I have no problem with feminists. I am actually, you could consider me a feminist myself. I am all about the sexes being equal. They should be. There's no reason why they shouldn't be. They never should have been unequal to begin with. However, when it comes to the feminazi agenda of trying to unicize, I don't know if that's a word, trying to neuter every male that's out there, that's a different story.
The feminazis want women to be in control. They think women are the supreme being. They want men to be at their feet and kissing their feet and, you know, what they want to walk across them with their spiky high-heeled shoes or their, you know, Doc Martin boots, or, you know, choke them with their flannel shirts or whatever. Oh, wait a minute. I'm talking about something completely different, aren't I? Yes, I know. We're going to get calls. We're going to get letters.
I'm sure.
Oh, well, at least we're sparking discussion.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for. And ladies and gentlemen, I love women. I am not sexist in any way. I am not misogynistic in any way. Women are equal to men in 99.95% of all things.
All there except killing spiders.
That men are slightly better at.
All except killing spiders.
That's one.
That's the one, you know,
yeah. You know, men in general are physically stronger than women. In general. You'll agree with me on that, will you not?
Yes. Yeah, as a general rule.
So, you know, in an occupation that requires physical strength, such as, say, a construction job or something along those lines, a man is going to be a little bit better at it. Women are better analytically. They are much better in an analytical setting. And it's been proven. Women's brains work more efficiently. They work more
logically.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to think. They are more logical. I mean, my mother is a feminist. My mother is, and I will freely admit that. And she is a wonderful woman. She is, and she is a very logical, very passionate, very capable woman. And she does a job that very few people can do. If I were to try to do that job, I'd fail miserably. This is just how it is. So the thing is, when I say that women and men are equal in most things, they are. But there are certain things that men do better, and there are certain things women do better. And that's what we need to recognize. That's what we need to look at. Now, as far as this happy bunch of ladies and gentlemen, I used to be a long-haul truck driver, so I generally have a repertoire of colorful metaphrases that
sailor mouth.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Although I'm nothing compared to my mother. She can walk into a marine bar, and 10 minutes later, sailors are running out.
Yeah.
Or she walks into a truck stop, and the truckers are going, hey, we got mechanics in here.
Watch your language. That's not in polite company.
Okay. But, and this is to every guy listening, to every guy on the planet. Tell me that you have never once told a little white lie run a little deception with your buddies to get a woman in bed. I know I have. I know I have. I will admit it. I'll stand here. I'll sit right here in front of this microphone, be a man, and say, yes, have I lied to get a woman in bed? Abso-frickin-lutely. And I'm sure that my brother over there will say the exact same thing.
Sure, I'm not proud of it, but I think every guy out there has done it. I think every girl has done it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, hello, you put on makeup. You put on makeup, and that's a lie. I mean, when it comes down to it. Right? Am I wrong on that?
No, see? Not at all.
So, I mean, when it comes down to it, you're putting on a false front. So that's, you know, not the true you. So in essence, that is a deception. I'm sorry, but I have woken up next to somebody that had makeup on the night before, and the makeup has come off in the middle of the night, and that is not the person that I went to sleep with.
Oh, yeah. That's when you're looking at them going, do I wake them up or do I chew my own arm off? That's the question.
That's the coyote ugly ones, right?
Exactly.
And again, we have pissed off half of the listener base. We warned you, people. Anyways, but yes, the thing with this thing that really, really irked me is this idea of, okay, I'm going to get up on a soapbox here for a second.
Oh, hang on. Let me dust it off for you.
Okay. Thank you. What a nice soapbox this is. I think I'm going to borrow it. Anyways, here's my issue. The feminazis out there have basically brought up everything as being akin to rape. They have said that a man farting louder than a woman is raping her. And I kid you not with that, people. That is a thing. Okay, that is part of the agenda that has been pushed forward. If you look at a woman, it is rape. Okay, and I kid you not, again, if you have not heard these things, you are not traveling in the circles that I've walked in. Because it is out there and it does happen. This is what's being pushed. Okay, now here's my thing. Under every and any circumstance, rape is horrible. It is the worst possible thing that you can imagine. I've been there. Okay. And most guys who have been in my situation are very, not willing to admit that they have been raped, but I have been. Okay. And I'm not afraid to speak about it, but here's my thing. It was a very horrible experience and I still carry scars from it. Now, for these people to come out and say everything is rape does a disservice to all of those who are actual victims of true rape. Okay. It is, I think that every person who has ever been truly raped should be up in arms at these people and screaming them down on a daily basis to shut the hell up. Because they don't know what they're talking about, and they are doing a very large disservice to the actual victims who are out there of this horrific crime. And by the time all is said and done, they have basically muddied the waters so much that people who are actual victims of this cannot in any way find justice or peace without making a very large effort towards it, because they're reminded of it on a constant basis by people like this.
Oh, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. You know, I've had a couple of girlfriends that were raped either before we got together or one while we were together. I was on a vacation. She ended up going with a friend and they were out having a good time, ended up going with her friend, convinced her to go to these guys' house. They were going to have a couple of drinks, play some pool, and ended up getting raped. And it devastated her. And it's devastated most of the people I've ever known that it has happened to. So for them to say, oh, farting in front of a woman louder is rape, and the whole thing of the quote unquote rape culture. That's the big feminazi buzzword, rape culture. Yeah. Pack up your rape culture.
Yeah.
everything objectifies, anything that objectifies a woman is rape culture. Anything that demeans a woman is part of the rape culture. Okay, first and foremost, you sitting there screaming rape every 5 seconds.
It perpetuates the rape culture.
That, and it also diminishes what these women have been through.
Yes.
It diminishes, and it makes it much more difficult.
And men. We got to toss that in there. And men as well.
Yes, men as well. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to
exclude
anybody.
I know. I'm just tossing it out there because you're actually falling right into the trap that everybody thinks that it's only women who can be raped. And I know you're not meaning to. I'm just trying to, you know, put this out there, basically. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. The thing is that it also makes it much more difficult for A, the police to investigate and prosecute a rape. And the prosecutors, of course, because most of these women believe that if everything is rape, and men, sorry, if these people believe that everything is rape, then why even bother?
Right, exactly, because they've turned it into a joke.
Are getting away with doing one of the, you know, a crime that, in my personal opinion, deserves the punishment involves a rusty hacksaw. And a set of bollocks.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are listening in the British Isles or the British Empire, know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They're usually the bollocks are the dangly bits.
Right. To serve Rocky Mountain oysters to the next person in line. Yeah. It's and what I'm meaning basically with all of it is that they've turned it into a joke. And with it being a joke, nobody is taking it seriously. And it is a very serious crime. A very serious crime.
Exactly. It is extremely serious. You know, the long-term ramifications of rape are horrendous. The physical scars and the physical pain fades and heals over time, but the mental scarring and the mental damage that it does generally doesn't. It takes and if it does heal, it takes a lot of therapy, a lot of alcohol, or a lot of drugs.
And a lot of times all three is what ends up happening just to be able to try to diminish the pain of it.
Exactly.
So by all of this, basically, guys, what we're trying to bring across is that if you're falling into this trap of the feminazis putting this kind of stuff out, you're doing basically the victims a very large disservice. And I think that actually there really is a large agenda behind it all, not just the feminist or feminazi agenda with it, but actually a social experiment of sorts that is going on with it all. Because with it all, it's destroying the family, it's destroying the psychological makeup of, again, the differences between men and women, which there are, and they're good differences. The differences are not in any way, shape, or form bad. I mean, look, I was a single father for a long time. I was raising my kids myself. The mother was out of the picture. And I know from experience how hard it is to raise kids. I have all respect for people that raise kids, you know, that are doing a good job of it. So it takes either, I guess you could say, a certain mentality in a man or being a woman primarily to be able to do it effectively and have a smile on your face the whole time, you know, because it's not an easy thing. But yeah, it's to me, it is really the differences that are spectacular. I mean, we have evolved with these differences for a reason.
Exactly. You know,
I like the idea of most of the Native American tribes, for instance, which I am one, you know, just to throw that out there. But in the old days and even still in some today, the chiefs were chosen by the women. that the chiefs were voted in basically by the women. So the chief, which was generally a man, would have, you know, power in the day-to-day decisions of things and oh, I have all the power. But if he messed up, he's out of there. And the women are putting a new person in.
Exactly.
So it was a great way to keep the balance, you see.
And that's truthfully, you know, I am mostly an Irishman. And anybody that knows Irishman knows that an Irish man is a very swaggering, very powerful person. But if you want to know who has the true power behind an Irishman, it'd be the woman. Because if you ever come up against an Irish woman, watch out, laddies, because she'll cut your bollocks off without even thinking twice about it.
Are you done with the brogue?
For now.
You might whip it out later.
I might. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, his wife finds that absolutely hilarious. He hates it. So I usually do it at least once a day just to annoy the hell out of him.
Just for the annoyance factor, yes. So, yeah, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it really is about the balance of things. And that's the good thing. People need to stop with the women have to do exactly the same as a man and men have to do exactly the same as a woman. It doesn't need to be that way. It was never meant to be that way. The differences are there for a reason and it's there to keep the balance. I mean, look, let me put it to you this way. The main reason why we see all this the feminazi kind of thing going on is because there is a large imbalance and has been for a long time of society basically being ruled as a patriarchy, that the male dominant spirit basically has been in control of things for a very long time now. And essentially what you see is the pendulum swinging towards the other direction, towards the feminine being in control. And most people might say, oh, well, that's a good thing because the woman is nurturing and kind and blah, 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 blah. However, in cultures where the culture was ruled by a matriarchy, it was actually more violent and more out of control.
Aye, that it is. Because, you know, every 28 days, and I know I'm going to offend somebody on this, you know, there's some really intense negotiation.
Yes, there you go. Exactly.
Thank you, Great Robin, for that particular bon mot of wisdom.
But it is the truth. In every culture where it's been a predominantly a matriarchy, there actually has been a lot more violence. There's been a lot more conflict. There's been a lot more problems socially that goes on. And you might not think that way, but it is the truth that has been found. What needs to happen is a balance. Yes, there needs to be a diminishment of the patriarchal side of things right now, because we see a lot of issues in the world going on right now because of it. And we need to have an embracing of the feminine.
I
embrace my feminine every day. You know, I am a lesbian in a man's body anyway. So,
And there goes the other half of the listening audience.
But my point is that we need to have that embracing of both sides of it all, because the balance is where everything goes right.
Exactly. You know, my brother is a Native American. He believes in that culture, the sacred balance between the masculine and the feminine. The innate harmony of nature is all about balance. I am Irish, but I'm also a Druid. And Druidic teachings teach us balance in all things. There has to be a balance between creation and destruction, a balance between light and dark. And most people think, well, Druids are, you know, it's a fully dominated male society, which it is. You will not find a female Druid, because the balance to the Druid is the Wiccan. So you have that balance together. And that's what this, not just our country, not just the United States, all countries. This whole world needs to have the male and the female in balance, the masculine and the feminine, the creation and destruction.
Absolutely.
Everything needs to be in balance. And these feminazis out there, to get back to our original point, you'll understand, ladies and gentlemen, we have a tendency to meander all over the place. And we eventually do get back to our salient points. These feminazis wanting to claim that anything a man does that they deem inappropriate is rape is taking that balance, putting it in a giant industrial shredder, and hitting frappe.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is, again, doing everything a disservice. I weep for humanity, Joe. I really do.
I agree. I mean, the things that you see nowadays, I mean, just as a case in point, look at the Arab countries. The Arab countries are predominantly masculine. I mean, they are dominated by men. Women are less than property in most of them. And their culture, they claim, is much superior to ours. But what they are doing is a perversion of true Islamic law. It is a perversion of what the Quran says. Up until, what was it, the 3rd century, Ira?
Which part?
Women were as powerful as men, yeah, in most Arab countries up until
Islam,
the 3rd century.
Islam got its rise, I think, in about 600, wasn't it?
So we're talking 7th century.
Yeah.
But before that, their cultures were some of the most technically advanced and culturally advanced in the world. And they combined men and women seamlessly. But then Islamic law took over because men wanted power. And it's not just Islam. Christianity, especially Catholicism, is rife with the same thing.
Most religions today are, and just so that the people out there understand, I myself used to be hyper religious, of the Christian bent, was actually on track to become a pastor, but basically woke up, and now I'm no longer religious, but I do consider myself to be spiritual. People will understand that as time goes on. If you listen to any of my other shows, you'll get a real deep understanding of my own viewpoints with all of that. Again, you can find those at openeyesnetwork.com. I have all my archives of my shows there. Anyways, go ahead.
Oh, no problem. You know, and it's just, okay, making something like telling a woman, hey, I'm a doctor, to get her in bed, or, hey, no, you look great in those pants, and they look great on my floor, to get her in bed, even though the guy did not think she looked great in those pants, making that criminal? Hello, thought police. Welcome to 1984.
It's not like we don't have enough laws on the books already, right? I mean, there's, what, 450,000 different laws and regulations that are on the books that we're responsible to know. I mean, did you memorize the newest 1,000 laws that were passed last year, Joe?
No.
No? Then you better be careful, because if you violate any of them, you're going to go to jail. Anyways, so that's neither here nor there. What we have is already a problem with overregulation. Do we really need to have more, especially in regards to something as ridiculous as this?
Exactly.
I mean, this is just senseless. It's like they've taken sanity and they've taken common sense and looked at it and said, "Oh, aren't you cute?"
Exactly. I mean,
yeah, this is what an aneurysm feels like, right?
where's my duct tape? I really need my duct tape. So that when my head eventually does explode, you know, when I go to the hospital, at least all the pieces are there. They can try to piece me back together again. But common sense has died a quiet death in this country many years ago, Ira.
Yeah. I mean, didn't Benjamin Franklin try to say all that with his newsletters coming out, you know, common sense?
Yeah. But, you know, this is what it is. Feminism is not a bad thing. Never will say it is. You know, a woman standing up for herself and believing in herself is a good thing. Feminazism needs to go away because they are hurting that cause. They are diminishing that struggle.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are actually becoming like the abused child that having gotten out of that abusive home, then goes so far to the other direction that they abuse their own kids.
Yeah, or it's like the people who are so sheltered when they're growing up that once they get out of underneath that thumb, suddenly they go completely buck wild and totally insane with their actions. It's the same difference. Look, here's my issue. My issue is this. I have a problem with extremism in any way, shape, or form. Feminazism is just one form of extremism. It's the extremism of feminism. You know, it's the taking the ball and running with it so far that you're no longer even on the same planet, let alone the same playing field. Extremism is one of the biggest issues that we have in the world today. Look at, you know, extreme Islam, look at extreme Christianity, look at even extreme Buddhism. Most people think, oh, well, Buddhism, there's nothing wrong with there. There's, you know, all about light and love and peace and enlightenment. But if you look at the extreme Buddhists, they're out there killing just as many people as the Muslims and the Christians are. So, you know, extremism in any way, shape, or form is a very, very bad thing. I always say everything in moderation. You know, that's just my own viewpoint on things. So the feminazism is just an extension of the idea that things need to be balanced. And they're going so far with it that it goes into the realms of insanity. Again, look at the other extremist examples that are out there. Look at, for example, Westboro Baptist Church, the extremist Christianity thing.
Oh, boy. I'm borrowing back my soapbox.
Go ahead.
Okay. Most people in this country believe that the Westboro Baptist Church is this huge organization. It's not. It's six people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's six people,
and yet they get so nuts,
so freaking twisted with hate and vileness and cloaked in this religious bent that they go to the funerals of soldiers and say that these soldiers died because it is God's punishment for homosexuality.
They protested Leonard Nimoy's funeral.
Are you what?
Yeah.
Oh. May the fires of Vulcan burn them alive.
I knew that one would tick you off. No, you're
they
right, though.
Protested
right.
Spock's funeral.
The thing that's crazy is that, yes, it's this little handful of people, and yet they get so much media attention. If people wanted to actually do something to stop this, stop watching it. Stop displaying it in the media. You see, they're played up so much in the media because it is part of an agenda. If there was not an agenda attached to it, they are such a small little itty bitty minuscule thing that they would never have gotten any attention. None.
Exactly. I mean, they have protested at the funerals of children that have died in plane crashes or that have died.
Goose Brabha.
Woosa. Woosa. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm still very much aggravated about them protesting at Leonard Nimoy's funeral.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, that is a great example, though, of the extremist viewpoints and how people can get so congealed around just even a small handful of things. So when you have these examples of these huge organizations that are out there that are extremist, it gets into the real realms of agenda making. What was it? Just last week, the KKK, for instance, was passing out flyers in suburban Washington neighborhoods. You know,
okay, they're trying to get killed. You know,
I mean, if they really wanted to do something, if they really wanted to do something, look, if they really wanted to make a difference to the world, the KKK. Why don't they go to, let's say, the ghettos of New York and pass out their little flyers?
If they really wanted to do something good for the world, they could all pull their bottom lip over their head and swallow.
I'm just giving an example, though. I mean, because that would be good for the world, because they really wouldn't last very long in that activity.
No.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. Well, listen, guys, we're going to take a break here real quick. When we come back, we're going to get into even more realms of insanity for you guys. Stick around with us and prepare for extremities in just a few minutes.
You may be suffering from OMS. Open Mind Syndrome. This disorder can be a burden on those suffering from it, as they see the insanity in the world around them. Symptoms of this disorder are likely to be not accepting the status quo, talking frequently about issues that are really important, studying things that are not acceptable by the mainstream thinking, and asking too many questions. This disease can spread rapidly, even over the internet and airwaves. It is becoming an epidemic. If you or someone you know suffers from open mind syndrome, do not seek help. It is apparent that this condition is actually the normal human response to information. In fact, it is best to interact often with fellow sufferers at latenightinthemidlands.com to remain open-minded. Open Mind Syndrome. It's no joke. The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed.
I'm Joni Ernst. I grew up castrating hogs on an Iowa farm.
In 2008, I fell in love.
I will not
even go to the strip clubs anymore. Wake the f*** up!
Hi, I'm Bob. I am running.
Other signs of erectile dysfunction may include extreme skin discoloration.
I know black folks have had a hard time with slavery, and the government was in on it, and the government's in on it again.
Smart, handsome, charming, articulate.
If you are the sexual predator and sociopath who murdered my sister Lynette, and you come to my front door to do harm to my girls, I'm going to use my Glock to blow your balls off.
If you have a boner lasting longer than 23 years, seek immediate medical attention.
But by 2012, our relationship was in trouble. But I stuck with him because he promised he'd be better. He's great at promises.
I changed my name to cover my past, to cover my bankruptcy.
Keep your plan.
Tell Senator Pryor to stop parroting Obama.
You can keep it.
820,000 of our tax dollars were spent studying how monkeys respond to unfairness.
I'll never pay down what he spent.
Won't let them in, won't let them see that I'm a phony radio disc jockey.
I know I'm stuck with Barack for 2 more years.
And how they act while on cocaine.
Enough of these political ads, right?
So when I get to Washington, I'll stand up to the big spenders.
You vote for Texas. You don't stab her in the back by voting for cloture on Obamacare.
Mitch McConnell wants you to think I'm Barack Obama.
But trying to distract me with this war on women?
We've all heard the one about pigs squealing. But when Joni Ernst had the chance to do something in Iowa, we didn't hear a peep.
Danny Gold, Danny Gold, I can't lie to you anymore. That's my name, Danny Gold, and I've got lies to answer for. Because Danny don't care what you're going to say. Let my lies rage on. Lying never bothered me anymore.
Intrusion. We all have to fight.
Cicero said, in a time of war, the law falls silent. And that is exactly what we have happening in this country today. Whether people realize it or not, we are in a state of war. We have been in a state of war since the Boston Marathon bombings took place. Congress enacted that we are in a state of war in this country, and it has never been repealed. So all of the different things that they have put into action, all of the different things that they have put forward as their agendas during this time period have been absolutely because of this state of perpetual war that we're in. We're in for a ride, people. We are in for a serious ride. And as far as I can tell, it's not going to stop. This is Brothers at Arms. My name is Ira, and I am here with Joe. Joe, are you with me still?
Where else would I be?
Falling asleep? I don't know. Maybe.
Ira, have I ever fallen asleep on you during one of our conversations?
No, sir.
That's right. And by the way, I love that song.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Fantastic. That was Less Friction. I love that song, and it is so appropriate for this show.
Yes, it is. And as far as being in a state of war, we've actually been in a state of war a lot longer than that.
Yes.
This country has been in a state of war since September 11th, 2001.
And if you want to get technical about things, actually, since the United States was founded over 200 years ago, there have been 5 years worth of time in that entire time that we have not been at war with somebody. 5 years.
That does not surprise me.
It's been especially worse, though, since World War II, since the inaction of
the Industrial Military Complex.
Since the Federal Reserve was put into place, the perpetual wars have had to take place because that is how the military-industrial complex is fed. It is fed through war, and that's the only way that it can go.
Exactly. You know, and the thing is that we don't need to be at war. This country, this world could be at peace, and the amount of things that we could accomplish if we simply stop beating each other up over stupid god symbols or small slivers of land is amazing. And I'm a militant guy. you've heard everybody talks about the fight or flight response. Most people choose flight. I'm the guy that's standing there going, bring it.
Bring it.
Let's go. Let's go. Oh, you're 9 feet tall and you're made out of iron. I don't care. Let's go.
I'll find a way to melt you down.
I will find a way to take every rivet out of your hide. Let's go.
Well, you know you're a terrorist for thinking that way, right?
Bring it on.
Well, you know, that is a thing. According to all of the different federal documents, according to the information that's been released by the Department of Justice, to the different law enforcement agencies around, people that wear blue jeans are considered to be terrorist suspects. If you're sweating, you're considered to be a terrorist suspect. If you sneeze, you're a terrorist suspect.
Well, guess what? I'm a terrorist.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Blue jeans, I sneeze, and I sweat.
Well, you know, according to all of the different lists that I've seen, I'm pretty much on par with Osama bin Laden at this point, I think.
I think I'm on par with Saddam Hussein. Sorry.
Guys, it really is crazy out there. It really is absolutely getting worse every day. And we're not trying to doom and gloom people. I'm actually rather optimistic kind of a person. I tend to look on the bright side of things as much as I possibly can. But the fact is that there really are cold, hard truths that people need to come to a realization about. And some of these things that we're talking about tonight are those cold, hard truths. We have today in Las Vegas, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
A high school has voted to have communism as the theme of the prom.
Okay.
And this is a sad state of affairs.
I can see that it might be come dressed as your favorite dictator.
I think I'll come as Joe Stalin. Che Guevara for the win.
Yeah. I mean,
That's the thing, too. A lot of these people out there, they wear the T-shirts, you know, showing the whole Che Guevara thing, you know. And do they really even understand what he was about or what he stood for or anything? No, because if they did, they'd burn them shirts in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the brainwashing.
Yeah.
In these kids nowadays, you know, they're brainwashed in the education system to think that communism was nothing more than a socialist experiment, and that it was a great utopian state. Hell, they believe Nazism was nothing more than a National Socialist Party that was just misunderstood.
Had a bad day. It had a bad day.
And it's like, okay, am I saying that capitalism and democracy are the greatest systems in the world? No, but I wouldn't want to live under any other. Thank you, Plato.
If it was truly the way that it should be, if capitalism, for instance, was about actually truly the free market, things would be better.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not. Now we have the state of corporatocracy in America, where corporations have the same rights and actually more of them than you and I do.
Exactly.
At least according to the Supreme Court.
You know, there are laws on the books, you know, and I am not an eco nut. I am not a tree hugger. I do not believe that oil and gas are the murdering the planet. As a matter of fact, I do not believe that we're running out of oil at any time, ever, period. But there are laws on the books that say no company can be fined more than $10,000 a day for dumping toxic materials into the ocean. So why are they going to stop? Can you explain that one to me?
Well, you know, when a corporation makes
$100 billion
a year, $1 million a day is nothing. No.
Not $1 million. $10,000. That's a buck.
Yeah. That's pocket change. That's literally couch change to these people.
Right. So they're going to do what they're going to do. Now, do I think that Greenpeace and people like that have the right way of stopping them? No. Protests don't do dick.
No, they
do
not.
Diddly squat. To quote PCU, we're not going to protest.
We're protesting protesters.
We're going to get together. We're going to have a little fun. Throw some meat. Okay. But the only way to really affect change in any of the subjects we talked about this evening, there's only one way to do that. And that's what we're doing right here. Talk about it. Get out there. Learn. Open your eyes. Wake up. And then when election times come around, do something. Run for the office yourself.
Don't know if you're going to get very far, but.
Right. But bring attention to these issues. Our Constitution in the First Amendment allows for a redress of grievances, ladies and gentlemen. And it may not be for long, but as of right now, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So redress your grievances, not to the news media, not to the people on the street. Take it to your congressmen, take it to your senators, take it to the president himself.
Right.
Because you have the right to do so.
Right. It's like the protests in Ferguson, for instance, not to sidetrack you too much, but this is again this example in extremism that we've been talking about tonight. The protests that happened in Ferguson, the people protesting, burning down Little Caesars does absolutely no good. The people that are actually causing the problems don't give a squat about you at burning down your neighborhoods. They're laughing at you the whole damn time that you're doing it. So what good did it do besides ruining the life of somebody that was in your community that did nothing to you in any way? I mean, what good did that do? Absolutely none.
Exactly. It does no good. I mean, okay, you're at a good pizza place. Especially with the new one they've got. Have you seen the new pizza they've got at Little Caesars? the deep dish with a 3.5 feet of bacon wrapped around it.
Yeah, of course you'd like that
one. Oh, I got to get me one of those. I got to get me one of them. You know, and it does, it's the height of moronetry. Is that a word? Moronetry? That is now. It's a word.
It's
now.
A Joe word. Listen, I have one for you. This is another one from the you just can't make this crap up department. Okay, that's by the way our research department here at Open Eyes Network. A Montana lawmaker is seeking to strengthen the state's indecent exposure law, stopping just short of his wish to outlaw yoga pants. Representative David Moore introduced House Bill 365 in the House Judiciary Committee in response to a group of naked bicyclists who rolled through Missoula in August. The proposal expands indecent exposure laws to include any garment that gives the appearance of or simulates a person's buttocks, genitals, pelvic area, or female nipple. You got to watch out for them nipples. Them nipples are dangerous. They're deadly.
Especially on a cold day.
Yeah, pretty much. So what do you think about that? Legislating against yoga pants. Now, my thought is, okay, this kind of gives a whole new meaning to the spandex is not a privilege, it's a right kind of thing.
No, it's not a right, it's a privilege. Yeah. Get it right.
I don't know. I've seen some people in some spandex. Woo-hoo. Anyway.
Yeah, that's why it's not a right. Yeah. It's a privilege.
So anyways.
Okay, first of all, I am still trying to figure out when yoga pants
became
or
a thing.
Spandex leggings became actual pants. You know, when I was growing up and in high school, by God, I wish they would have had that. Oh, you know, but, you know, girls in our day and age would wear shorts over those.
Yeah.
Now, you're lucky if it's a long t-shirt. But to legislate what somebody can and cannot wear is something we were discussing yesterday on Open Eyes. It's a serious violation of personal liberties.
It is.
And it's, again, the nanny state saying, oh, no, no, no. You can't entice. You're enticing. You're enticing.
Yeah. See, my thing with it is that it's a great example of the extremism. It's an example of how somebody, let's say this lawmaker, for instance, is not able to control himself. So he has to put controls on other people because he can't control the thing in his pants. So it's the other person's fault. It's like the idea, again, getting back to the rape idea of people who try to say, oh, well, a woman who walks around dressed like that deserves or is asking for it. No.
No.
Stop raping. Period.
Exactly. You know, no woman is asking for it. Well, there are some women that do ask for it, but that's a fantasy and that's a whole other conversation. Yeah. A whole different topic. But nobody asks to be raped, man or woman. I mean, it's like the whole skinny jeans thing. Nobody looks good in skinny jeans. Well, maybe Channing Tatum. But generally, nobody looks good in skinny jeans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I know I don't.
Don't even get me started on mine. But it's like when we went a few years ago to see the Star Wars movie and the second Star Wars. You remember?
Yeah.
Because the Hannah Montana movie came out at the same time. And you see all these 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds running around in outfits that would make a hooker blush. And it's just like, okay. Now, you didn't see you and I going out, oh, we're going to get him, going to get him. No, we could control ourselves. 99.95% of all people on the planet can control themselves. Because this moron in Montana, who's probably seen one too many sheep, oh, okay. Okay, I know. That was bad.
How bad of you.
Couldn't control Mr. Willy the One-Eyed Wonder Worm is going to make it impossible on the rest of us?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm still trying to figure out when yoga pants became a style and spandex leggings became stylish pants.
doesn't mean I don't enjoy watching them wander by me. And I know I just probably offended 3/4 of our listening audience. Too bad.
Again, it sounds to me like Representative Moore is maybe consumed with lust of the flesh and doesn't have the testicular fortitude to take personal responsibility for himself and wants to legislate his sinful exposure, basically. You know, it just – this kind of thing drives me nuts. I wanted to bring it up because this is a personal passion point for me that – when it comes to anything that anybody does, if it's not involving you, stay out of it.
Exactly.
Stay out of it and take responsibility for yourself and worry about your own household before you start worrying about what goes on in other people's households.
And I am going to quote the Bible here for you. And I quote. Oh, for bloody
people. Judge not, lest ye be judged.
That's
or
the
in the
one,
same manner that you shall be judged, the same measure shall be dealt out to you.
No. Tend to the mote in your own eye before you worry about the beam in mine.
Well, that one too. That's all part of the same little verses there. But yes, you're absolutely right. The problem that I have is, again, extremism in any way. And this is a perfect example of somebody. I'll bet you he's one who outcries in church about, oh, Islam this and Muslims that, but then looks at Adam and says, well, they got a bright idea when it comes to how they treat their women.
Exactly.
But they're all one and the same. They're all one and the same. It's extremism in one way, shape, or form. And it's all because people can't take responsibility for themselves. You see this in the radical Islam culture because they get offended by things because they can't control themselves.
Right. Oh. I had to blow up the Twin Towers because Madonna was on the TV and it offended my and she was shaking her hoo-has and my goat he saw it and my goat he died.
And there goes the rest of my audience. We still had a couple of people in Iran until then.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are not. And especially I am not trying to be overtly offensive. I'm trying to inform, and I'm also trying to entertain. And the best way that I know to entertain people is with comedy.
Well, yeah.
You laugh.
Yeah, the best way to stop being offended is to treat everything as a joke. Look at the humor of the situation. Look at the way that things are and laugh about it. Because if you take it seriously, that's when you have the extremist issues.
And you can't take life too seriously, ladies and gentlemen. You'll never get out of it alive.
That's the only thing we won't survive. We could survive a zombie apocalypse until we die. And once we die, well, we didn't survive it. So, you know.
Exactly. And once we die, we'll become a zombie. So there you go.
Yeah, so technically we do survive the zombie apocalypse, right, then?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, okay, we're starting to run low on time. Is there anything that you have as examples for tonight or that you want to speak about tonight?
Not really. I mean, we have pretty much covered everything I was thinking about. There is one thing that I kind of came across on Yahoo News that it kind of ties into what we were talking about tonight as far as the feminazis. There is another, and extremism, there is another group that is extremely up-in-your-face extreme, and that is the radicals in the LGBT community. Would you not agree?
Yes, I definitely would, yeah.
Well, and what caught my attention is this big, flashy story about the first openly LGBT character in the canon, which is the constant core group of characters in a book or movie series for the Star Wars series. And apparently an author has written a character into his latest Star Wars universe novel
that is openly gay. And of course, the LGBT community is just, woo, yay, and throwing it in everybody's face. We have to have this. And it's, to me, it's like, okay, why?
Yeah.
What's the point?
It's again the extremism thing, right? That community, for instance, I know a lot of people, and if you listen to any of my shows, you know that I absolutely support gays. I have no issue with of it at all. Thing that I have an issue with is the extremists in that community. There are definitely a lot of extremists and a lot of an agenda that does happen with all of it. And it's not really a good agenda. You know, it really isn't, but it's that way with any extreme agenda, right?
Exactly. And I'm not homophobic. I have no problem. I mean, I've had over the years had several gay friends that we'd go out together. It was more fun going out with them than it was going out with some of my straight friends. Cause we could go out, hang out, have a great time. And when they really started getting wild, oh my God, I don't think I'd ever laugh so hard in my entire life.
Yep. Exactly. Now, again, though, here's my thing. It's all about balance in everything and everything in moderation. My issue with the extremist LGBT kind of thing is that if you're going to have an LGBT parade or day, don't be offended when the straights want to have something like that. But they do get offended. But they do get offended.
That's for us. That's just for us.
Right. But they do get offended. And that's the biggest issue is that, okay, if you're going to do one, you've got to go whole hog and do all of it. It's just like with religion and my opinions about religion. If you're going to be a religion, that's fine. But be the religion and go whole hog with it. Don't just go and cherry pick the things that you like to see in it or that you want to follow in it. You're either following it or you're not. Do or do not. There is no try. Getting to the Star Wars topic.
Exactly.
And that's just the way I feel about it. And it's that way with this as well. If you're going to have gay days or if you're going to have this type of thing up in the face, then don't be offended when somebody wants to do the same thing in a hetero way. It's just that simple.
Exactly. And, you know, I have no problem with an openly gay character in Star Wars. I wouldn't have a problem with an openly gay character in Star Trek or any of my science fiction shows. It doesn't matter to me. But sitting there and having this big news article and, you know, oh, they're praising this author and they're, oh, why? I mean, he wrote a character. He happens to be gay.
Yeah, there's a lot of books with characters that are gay and there's a lot of scripts and movies with characters that are gay. Why is it a big deal?
Exactly. You know, actually, one of our, you know, we were talking about Leonard earlier. One of the original cast of Star Trek is an openly gay man. He did not play an openly gay character during Star Trek, but he is openly gay, George Takei. And he is a great spokesman for the Star Trek community, for the Star Trek universe. He is probably one of the most, if he's not one of the most avid fans of the series, he's close.
Yeah.
I mean, he promotes it every chance he gets. He loves going to he loves the fans. He goes to he goes to the conventions, which once I'm able to take care of certain things hopefully next year when it comes to Chicago, my dear brother, you and I, Horizon Center, sound good?
Be there, be square, yeah.
Yes, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, we will take pictures and post them on if and when we go. We will take pictures because he and I will be in uniform.
Yep, and I'll be fawning over all of the cast and stars, and most definitely.
Especially if Jolene Blaylock shows up.
Woof. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah. Listen, guys, we're almost out of time here. But before we end, I want to make sure to say thank you so much to Michael Vera for having us here on the Late Night in the Midlands Network. I really appreciate the opportunity for us to be able to come forward with a show like this. It's something that is unique to the network so far, and I'm really excited for you guys out there in the listening audience to hear all of the discussions that we have. this was just kind of our introduction to it all, and hopefully you guys got a lot out of it. Hopefully you were at least enlightened and or entertained, and that's basically what we're looking for. We want to give you guys hope. And something nice, you know, something nice that you can hold on to. So, Joe, any final words?
Yeah, I also wanted to thank Michael. I've never actually had a chance to talk with him. I have listened to his show. And when you came to me and said that he wanted you and I to do this show, I was frankly blown away. And I wanted to thank him for this opportunity. This has been something you and I have talked about and kind of dreamed about for many, many years. So also wanted to say to everybody out there, have a great night and be safe.
Absolutely. I agree. So if you guys want to go to the show notes for this show, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/BA001. I was going to do it as BAA, but I didn't want it to go like, bah. That would be bad. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. And be sure to like us on Facebook. We are at Open Eyes Network and also at Ira Robinson. So, guys, I hope that you've been entertained by this inaugural episode of Brothers at Arms. I hope that you guys got a lot out of it. And until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening.